Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire. To me used by
issues, we're still working on it, but it will
it will be fixed pretty soon, so just hold on. I was like, I hope so. So everything's going all right now, so we're going to go ahead with the interview and get in and let Chuck tell us about his story and about, you know, what the Lord has did through him and all the things that, you know, that he's got coming, you know, that the Lord has put on the plate for him. But right before we do that, I'm just going to go ahead and play Matthew 8 right quick. We didn't get to play it last week because there was a little bit of issues with the downloading of it, but I've got it fixed, and we're going to go ahead and hear that right quick.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen."
Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them,
"Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again."
Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him.
"What do you wish?"
"Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom."
"You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?"
"We are able."
"You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father."
And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself.
"You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out,
"Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David."
Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more,
Have mercy on us, O Lord,
Son of David.
Son of David.
So Jesus stood still and called them.
What do you want me to do for you?
Lord, that our eyes may be opened.
So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him.
Amen, amen. That's from the Word of God, Matthew 8, from the Word of Promise. And it's a great CD set. I really recommend to anybody that just needs something that's going down to work and listen to the Word of God. It's just an awesome CD set. And, you know, just pick it up at your local Christian bookstore, and they should have it for you. But, yeah, that's great. That's how, you know, the Lord's talking about. You know, he can pick somebody out of the gutter that's really, really had a hard life, and he could take them and glorify him as much as he can any Christian, no matter whether it's Billy Graham or whoever. He can glorify that person out of the gutter and just glorify him as loud as he can any prophet, as his choosing to do that to each and every one of us. We're all priests of God through Jesus Christ. We're all priests of God. And that's one thing we don't recognize. We see these people that came out of nothing or really been through a hard time when we look down on them. But in Jesus' eyes, he don't look down. He sees them as equal. No matter where they came from, where they are, he sees them all as equal. And a lot of people don't really like that, you know. And it ain't our choice. It's his. And that's one of the things he's saying. You know, he can bring anybody up, no matter what, and put them equal with you, no matter whether it's the alcoholic or the one that's drug addicted to anybody like that, and clean them up and bring them up to higher standards. And that's the awesome thing about Christ. He can do anything. He can clean up anybody, no matter what it is. And it kind of goes down to a episode I had at a barbershop yesterday. I was talking to Chuck. I was texting Chuck yesterday about me being in the barbershop, and I was sitting there waiting to get my hair cut, and this guy that works in construction walked in and sat there waiting for his hair to get cut, and I was kind of ahead of him, so the barber called me up, and I know the barber and stuff, so we talk, and everybody talks in the barbershop. That's the way that goes there. So I started talking to him, and then he's started talking about divorce and all that stuff. Then I started talking to him about the Lord, told him that the Lord loves him no matter what. And he relayed to me that he was an alcoholic and he lost his family and all this and that. And I said, man, I said, the Lord loves you no matter what. No matter whether you lost your wife and family, you're an alcoholic. I said, the Lord loves you. You come to him, he's going to wash you clean and take you to glory. He's going to renew your life. And I just kept on pushing the love of God on him. Then he got up out of church, or pacing back and forth, sit down. I kept on pouring the love of God into him, pouring it into him. And it got to a point where he got up and he said, well, preacher, I'll see you later. And he walked out the door because the love of God was piercing this guy's heart to a point where he didn't know what to think about it. And I really know that the Lord was really touching him at that point. And I'm sure that the Lord used that seed to be planted in his heart to start a tree in him that's going to grow to multitudes of maybe him becoming a minister one day, maybe him doing great things in his life one day. But it's awesome how the Lord's going to use it. And my thing was, I just went to the barbershop because I've actually went to get the oil changed in my truck and get an inspection. I was just there to waste some time, get a haircut, and just chill out for a while. I didn't know I was going to testify to this guy. I didn't know I would sit there in that place in that time to do that. And it was pretty awesome. And I was like, I was kind of glad I went there, because at first I didn't know whether I was going to go there or not, but I decided to. But how the Lord can use you. He can take that guy that had all those problems and lift him up to the highest standards. You know, the Lord will see him as high as I am, as high as anybody is in the Lord. And you know, he'll glorify him And that's what I'm waiting to do. I'm waiting to see the Lord glorify this guy. I probably won't never see him again in my life, and it don't matter. But I know the Lord has testified to him, and it's going to sprout something in his heart, praise the Lord. And it's a pretty awesome story there. But, Chuck, we're going to get right into your interview. You here, man?
Yeah, I'm here, dude. I was enjoying the message. I was waiting on the altar call, dude. That was good.
Yeah, I had an altar call going on while I was texting you on the phone, man.
That's awesome.
The Lord was using me in there. I didn't know what was going on until I started talking about the joy of the Lord, and it was just pouring through me. This guy was, like, looking at me and didn't know what to say and talking. And but I was like, man, the Lord is really using this to touch this dude. And what was so awesome, man, was that this guy worked for one of my cousins. There's a Matthews Construction Company, and they're kin to me through my grandmother that I actually thought the rest on yesterday. But anyway, they're kin to me through her. That was her sister, her my great-grandmother's sister's kids. And I know them. And he used to hang out with one of my cousins, and that's how we kind of got into the conversation. And talking about their wildlife and all that, and you never know where a conversation is going to go. And it went from that, from me revealing the Lord to him and talking to him about the love of the Lord. So it's awesome, man, just how the Lord is going to use you no matter what. And, I mean, it's just crazy stories like that, man, just crazy stories that how the Lord can use you no matter what. But it's just be willing to be open to be used is all it is. You just, you know, just lay yourself down in front of the Lord and say, have at it. You know, use me. No matter whether I'm on my knees, I've fallen, and I'm trying to climb back up. I mean, no matter where I am on my walk, use me to your will. And that's what it's all about, be used to his will. And that's how the Lord used you in your life, ain't it, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, probably as we get on further in the show and I get a little bit more into my testimony, I really learned that life is more, the Christian life, let me put it that way, is more about you laying your life down and giving your life to Jesus and not as much of asking Jesus into your life where you live the way you want to, and he's like the cherry on the top at the end of the day. You know, you go to church and stuff like that. So it's awesome to be available for the Holy Spirit to just use you no matter where you are, because, like, you know, Stan or Chris or Chuck, I'm the only person that is where I'm at every day, all day. And so no matter where I'm at, he can use me. And so I like the way you started that, man. That's good. You can be used anywhere at any time, because that's what God's looking to do, is use you where you are.
Amen. Amen. And you don't know, you really don't know to how the Lord's going to use you to open the door, to get you thinking. And me and Chris was talking about some biblical things beforehand. I was talking to him on the phone. I'm, well, we're going to get to that after the interview and stuff. I think I want to touch on that too. And it's kind of interested. But, you know, the Lord's going to use you to open doors to let you think, let you think about things and see things for what they are. And it's really unique how the Lord could use you in Walmart, how the Lord can use you while you're standing in line at the tag place, the way the Lord can use you while you're standing in a grocery line. You know, he can use you no matter what. And, I mean, I can tell you a little. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't do this all the time. There are sometimes that I don't do nothing, and there are sometimes that I will. So, you know, you're a vehicle. The Lord has a touch on you, and he could use you at any time. And there's, like, Todd Watts, he constantly goes. That's just his life. He just does that. But that's how the Lord uses him, and he can use you like that if you wish. But, you know, there are some people that is put out there at certain times to a person that nobody else can touch except for you. So, you know, you can be used for that. And, you know, if you don't think you can be a Todd White or whoever, he can use you at church. He could use you at the store. I mean, it don't matter. But it's something out there. But, Chuck, I want to get to when you was first became a Christian. Now, where does your testimony start there?
Well, of course, me being a young country boy in the South, I'm sure all the listeners can tell by my southern drawl, I'm from the South. You know, we were raised in church. And I was raised actually in a church that I'm a fourth generation Pentecostal Holiness kid. It was a church that my great grandparents helped pioneer. And so we were raised in that, some old school, old line, you know, Pentecostal stuff. And up until I was about 8 years old, and when I was 8 years old, my dad left my mom for another woman. And so we did the church thing for a little while longer, but it eventually wore on my mom. She was raising two boys by herself, working two jobs, doing a little side work, trying to make money, baking cakes, things like that. And it just wore on her, so we kind of fell out of the church thing. And so now both sides of my family were churched. And so my grandmother was a Methodist, and so I went through my years as a teenager, probably the most important years of my life, not going to church at all, just remembering some memories from when I was young and things like that. And so now I don't have the rebellious hellion testimony. I really don't. I was a young guy. I wanted so bad to get out of Lake City, South Carolina. I did not want to be this country, bumpkin, uneducated, hey, y'all, how you doing, driving 4x4 pickup trucks, dog hunting deer all the time. I wanted to lose that so bad because that's where my identity was. So in all that, I started getting into education. I really wanted to become an astronaut. I wanted to become an aeronautical engineer, fly planes, build planes, fly a space shuttle. And in my hometown, Lake City, I don't know how many people will remember in 86, they had a shuttle explosion. It was the Challenger. And one of the astronauts, yeah, the black astronaut, was Ron McNair. And he's from my hometown. Like, there's a big monument in town right now. And I met him as a young man. And it marked me as a kid because I thought, man, he has proven you can get out of here and not live this lifestyle. So I kind of followed into that. Anyway, so moving through high school, I didn't do drugs. I didn't do alcohol. I've never done a drug in my life. And most times when I give my testimony in church, a lot of the young people be shaking their heads like, this dude's crazy. He's lying. There is no way. He ain't never done drugs. He ain't never drank. And so I've never done it. I didn't have a bad home life. I mean, my dad left, but we had a good home life. We were a tight-knit family. It was good. And so I was chasing after a dream, and I knew drugs and alcohol wasn't going to get it for me. So I fell into that, and I faced that. And so later on in high school, I was actually trying to go into the military, into the Naval Academy, because it was free. We were very poor. And I knew the only way for me to get an education was the military. But I wanted to go to the Naval Academy. I wanted to do the career in the military, the career in the astronaut corps, all those things. Well, that kind of fell through because the academies you have to be appointed to. It has to be some big-name politician that appoints you. Well, that didn't happen for me. And so my dreams kind of fell apart late in life. I was graduating high school, wondering what to do now. So my next option was, well, I can join the National Guard, get the GI Bill, I can still go to college. I can still work towards something. So I did that. I joined the military, got into the South Carolina National Guard, went through boot camp, AIT, all those things, the military lifestyle. Well, I got into college, and I started working on my education. Well, in my freshman year of college, this was 1991, I was still hanging out with my buddies. I was going to a local college. Now it's a university. Back then it was a college. And so a girl that wanted to date me in high school had just picked up the phone one night randomly and said, Chuck, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm just hanging out here at the house. And she was like, look, we have this thing called a youth group, which in 91 I'd never heard of in my life, a youth group. What in the world is that? But it was at the local church. It was the only one in town. That's how rare this was back then. And so all the church's youth came together in this one place. And she said, why don't you just come? And she named a few of my friends, said, you know, they'll be there. You won't be by yourself. So, and what it was the Holy Ghost was setting me up. So anyway, to backtrack just a step, back in 91, 92, we had this thing happening called Desert Storm. That's when this thing in the Middle East really picked up. Troops were being sent out. We were fighting over in Saudi Arabia, and Iraq and those places. And my stepfather actually got mobilized and went overseas when I joined the military. And so when that happened, his father was a Pentecostal preacher. So everybody went back to church. They knew, okay, life is getting serious. We need to straighten our lives back out. So they started going back to church. Well, I would get a phone call every Sunday morning, my mom wanting me to go to church. And I knew in my mind, old school Pentecostal. And I thought, the only way I'm going to get out of this is go to church with Grandma. And I can go to the Methodist church, and that thing that used to run up and down the aisle at that old church won't get on me. So I was running from the Pentecostal charismatic type thing because, one, I didn't understand it, and, two, I knew it would get all over you if you got close enough. So I would run to this Methodist church. It was about 6 months or so. But the Sunday before I got this phone call from this girl, I left that little Methodist church in our hometown crying. That preacher beat me up one side and down the other. I was so convicted. I was so knowing that life wasn't about me. And I just cried. I cried. I can remember walking down the steps and just crying my eyes out going, man, what is this? I had never felt conviction like that in my life. So anyway, fast forwarding back up, I go to the youth group. And I'm thinking, okay, there's a bunch of young people hanging around. Can't be too bad. And so I get there, and I watch 100 kids, mostly teenagers. At this point, I was 20 years old. This is November 30th, 1992. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I watched these kids worship. I mean, there wasn't this, you know, let's do one song, take up the offering. Let's do another song. We'll do a special. Guy gets up, preach. Okay, call it a night. It wasn't that, man. They worshiped. I mean, the hands in the air. I watched kids cry. I sat back and I watched this, and I was like, man, this is so powerful. Where has this been my entire life? Well, that night, the youth pastor, who has become a very good friend of mine, his name is David Ingram. He's actually the chaplain at the Biltmore Estates now. And so he was not the speaker. His friend from college was the speaker. Now, let me explain Darren to you. Darren has Tourette's. So it was weird in that while he preaches, nothing happens. He doesn't make those noises. Tourette's is not an issue. Away from the pulpit, he's a typical Tourette's person. He makes the noises. He barks at things, you know, very uncomfortable. But, man, he preached a message about the cross that hit me so hard, I had no option but to go to the altar. And, man, I hit the altar in a puddle of snot and tears like you could only imagine. It was like I couldn't even pray. I was so impacted that I just sat on the altar, and the only thing I could get out was, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. I couldn't say anything else. I didn't pray a prayer. I didn't pray behind somebody else, you know, pray after me. Man, I just hit the altar, and I knew that if God did not come in my life, that I was a mess. So November 30th, 1992, man, I remember it like it was yesterday, how God, out of all the people on the planet, showed up in Lake City, South Carolina, and found me. And it's the funniest thing ever, man. He really impacted my life, and, man, he tore me up.
Amen. Hey, man, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I know there's a lot of people, you know, that's in a situation that they're in a hometown that they want to get away from. I know there's a lot of kids that do that. They're in a place where they want to get out and they want to see the world. And it's kind of unique. Some of them do. Some of them get really, you know, show that that's where they need to be at that time. And then, you know, when the Lord is ready, you know, he'll move them on. But it's also, you know, awesome to see that you was stretching to get out of there, but the Lord had other things for you. But, yeah, you know, the altar call is awesome because, I mean, I even know, you know, when Billy Graham, when I was talking about Billy Graham, when he would stand up to the altar, I mean, he's a weakened guy. He has a lot of health issues. But when it comes to time for him to preach, he stands up and looks like nothing's wrong with him. He preaches his message. And then when he gets away from the altar, he's back to where he was, back in the wheelchair. So it's kind of unique. And I remember they were talking about Catherine Coleman as well, that she was strict with all type of, you know, physical ailments. And they said she could almost crawl to the stage for her to do her event. And all of a sudden, the power of God would hit her, and she'd stand straight up and look like what nothing was ever on her. And then the power of God would move so strong through that lady. And then when the event was over, she was back crawling back to her chair and struggling. And that's just the way it is. When God is really, really ready to use you, he's going to put you to the stature where you need to be. And he's going to use you to that advantage. And no matter whether you're young or 80 or 90 years old, he will use you to that advantage. That's awesome, Chuck. Now, Chuck, you know, you got down through your testimony. Now, where down the road did you start seeing your mission field or your mission that he was really putting you on?
Well, that's another long story. So after getting saved, the first thing I did was went to work in the church because I was impacted so hard just sitting in church, enjoying some songs and a preacher every week, you know, and that's life. That just wasn't doing it for me. So I immediately went into church work just wherever I could fit in. And there wasn't a call. It was just like, let me do something. So, you know, I played guitar for a church. I actually played guitar for that youth group for a little while and made some friends with another church and helped in their youth group. And so I moved through. I actually moved myself up to an assistant pastor of a non-denominational church. It was kind of growing, and I just wherever I could fit in, I just wanted to do something. But that kind of, over a few years, it just became a lifestyle of you get up Sunday mornings, you go to church, Sunday night, you go to work, you go to church Wednesday night, you go to work, you do it all again next week. It's like punching a clock. So I kind of fell in that over some years. Got married, ended up moving to a large denominational church close by where I played guitar for the band, helped in the youth group. My wife was Sunday school teacher. She was helping in the youth group, assistant Sunday school teacher. I mean, all that good stuff. And so I was living the life. I have to be careful. Just the nominal Christian life. It was just, you know, you go to church. That's what you do. And so I was doing that, and my son had gotten an invitation from Eddie James Ministries to come be a dancer. So he was traveling the world dancing for Jesus. And we went down to Jacksonville, Florida on a vacation, but also my son was going to be there, so we were going to kind of try to get to see him as well. And we walked into this huge church in Jacksonville, Florida. It was a conference. It was a Holy Ghost setup. I walked in, and the same thing that happened the night I got saved happened in that service. I watched 400 or 500 people just lay down everything to worship and just to sit at Jesus' feet, cry. There was no agenda. I watched people like Rick Pino and Jeremy Burke and Dutch Sheets they were so in love with Jesus that it was intoxicating to me. And I realized in that moment, man, what have I lost? This is the first month. Because I remember the first month I was saved, I was that dude. I was the guy like, well, you know, he's young and he's going to – I mean, I was trying to get everybody saved. Everybody's got to get saved now. Y'all have to feel what I feel now. And so that wore off, and so I just got into the church thing. Well, it came back to me in that moment. And I realized, man, I've wasted so many years playing church and not being church. So God impacted me in that moment. And so my wife and I talked all the way home, and over about a 3 or 4 month period, we just really, a season of repentance and change. And so we moved out of our home church. We had been given an offer where, this is going to sound funny to you, but I was a children's pastor and my wife was the youth pastor. I loved working with kids because you could preach the truth to them. They didn't care. So we moved into that. And then, so out of that, we named our youth group The Well, which is our ministry now. Because as we was riding home one night, John chapter 4 just blew up in my mind how Jesus came to a spot just to encounter a woman. You can, if you read the scripture, you'll see he was on purpose coming to that well to encounter a woman that probably nobody else would talk to. And we were just like, man, I just want to be the well. I just want to be a place where Jesus can encounter people. And that's all the well really was in John chapter 4. So that was ingrained in our heart. We knew at that moment that no matter what ministry looks like, what life looks like, that we're a well. We're a place where living waters are present. Jesus is presence. We live a life of his presence is more important than anything else. And so when I'm at the grocery store, when I'm at the gas pump, when I'm getting my oil changed, no matter if I'm paying my phone bill, no matter what, I'm a wellspring of living water that can encounter anybody around me at any time. Because as a young man in the faith, the one thing, and it still does me to this day, I've always thought, what would it look like if Jesus showed up right now? What would a gas station look like while I'm paying for a bottle of water look like if Jesus showed up? And that kind of died away in my early years because I didn't have a paradigm for it. I didn't have anywhere to look and see. I didn't have anybody teaching me those things. So I kind of lost it. But when I got a hold of it, I wouldn't let it go. So now that's basically what our ministry is just, look, it doesn't matter where I'm at. Now, I could be where I'll give a story kind of along the lines of what you was at the barbershop yesterday. I was at work one day, and I was walking down this line of cars, checking cars, and I had a young man with me, a spiritual son, and I saw this guy walking along the cars. He was a tall black man, had a brown paper bag, so I knew what was in it. I was a former cop as well. I get it. So he's just walking through the cars. And so I didn't feel led. I didn't feel an unction. I'm kind of a people person. I'll just strike up a conversation with people. I don't always pray for people. I don't always have prophecy for people. I don't always have words of knowledge for people, but I will talk to people. I'll strike something up. And so I just struck up a conversation with him, you know, and he kind of, and I saw what was in the bag, and it was open, and he was drinking it, and he kind of leaned back on the car. We were dialoguing a little bit. And so I said, okay, man, I got to run off. I was just thinking, you know, if you needed any help, I was going to help you. And he said, man, you're so nice. I said, well, hey, man, I'm a people person. That's the only way I can share Jesus is if I'm a people person, right? And he kind of chuckled, and he stuck the brown bag behind him because he knew, uh-oh, got a Christian on my hands. So we just started talking. He started telling me this long story about his friend who went to jail and how depressed he was and how hard times were. So I started ministering to him. I was like, man, it doesn't matter about any of that stuff. You're right here right now. Jesus has you in his radar, and he loves you more than you think you deserve to be loved. And God stands up, and I mean just immediately starts pouring tears like somebody's pouring water over his head, turns around and goes, man, I can't talk about this. I can't talk. Just crying and walks off. And the funny thing about the story is the young guy with me has that moment of he looks at the guy, and then he looks at me, and then he looks at the guy, and then he looks at me, and he looks at the guy, and he looks at me, and he goes, man, this stuff really happens, doesn't it? And it was a moment for me to teach him that, look, you're always available. There's a big available sign on your forehead for the Holy Ghost. I'm available. So we learned over those years, you know, we've tried it different ways. We've had services every week. We've actually housed people. We've traveled. But no matter what, at the end of the day, I'm just a well. I'm just a place where Jesus can come sit down and commune. And then when people come by, they just get the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. It's awesome. I mean, me, myself, I can normally tell when something's going to happen because I could feel the presence coming over me. And like yesterday, I felt the love just flowing around. No matter what I was dealing with, the love just started flowing no matter what my mind, where my mind was. It's just there no matter what. And it's like the Lord was just getting my heart and getting me ready for that moment. And I didn't know what it was going to be. I thought I was just enjoying, just chilling in the love of God is what I felt I was going to be doing that day. But, no, it was getting ready for that guy, man. And he set you up. What he's doing, he set you up. And that's how that happens, man. I mean, you're an open vessel, like you're saying, that he sets you up to be at the right place at the right time, no matter whether we know where we're going to be, but he knows where you're going to be. And it's kind of awesome how he does that and how he uses us through our Christian walk like that. That's being a regular Christian. That's not just walking away. Well, I ain't going to talk to him. I could talk to him about that, but nah. You know, it's just actually going forward and doing that. And that's awesome, Chuck. Now, since you've got your well ministry going, now what do you do in your well ministry? Can you explain that?
Well, that may be harder than you think. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we pretty much do whatever. Now, over the years, I used to write a lot of songs, travel a lot, singing with bands, and sometimes on my own, preach different things. But if people look on the outside looking in, they're going to think we're a music ministry, because last year I really got connected to Tammy Sutherland and Mike Thornton, and just got to go to these 24-hour events where we do music for 24 hours. And so I would cover one of those sets. But also during those hours, what Mike and Tammy really do is they're like, look, if you have a word, you know, let's get it out there. So a lot of the pictures you'll see is me on stage playing guitar singing, but a lot of what goes on is there's like an open mic for prophetic people, and we just declare what God's doing in that moment. So really, over the past, man, it's been such a transition, probably 3 years. There's been such a transition in our lives to where we went from quote-unquote nominal ministry, what ministry would look like, into let's just do whatever God wants. So as of right now, where we stand is the well is my wife and me. And we do follow a few, like Fire on the Altar, which is Tammy Sutherland, Ignite Ministries, which is Mike Thornton, where we go and we will lead a worship set or be part of a worship gathering. But we also minister in those things as well, preaching, declaring the word of the Lord, you prophesying, those type things. So I actually do both. I'm not really a worship leader. I tell people if I'm a worship leader, I'm the worst one God ever called, because I'm the guy that I'll be up there singing, and I just want to put the guitar down and go to preaching. So we do travel. We do preach. It's expanding this year. We get to go to Boston. The funny thing about me telling my testimony that I just thought about a few minutes ago was wanting to get out of Lake City. Well, actually, that's actually starting to happen. Over the past 6 months, I've met Karen Dunham, which is the lady you had on from Jerusalem. I've contacted and talked to her. She said anytime we want to come to Jerusalem, let her know. I've met the director of Central Africa Missions for the IPHC. Anytime you want to come, let me know. We'll set it up. The director over Asia from the IPHC, anytime you want to come, just let me know. I've made connections in the Philippines and also in the United Kingdom. So it's the possibility to travel the world is literally right on my doorstep. So we're going to be able to go out and minister, whether it's preaching or singing, whatever God wants to use. If I go singing, I'm still going preaching. I mean, I may have a guitar, but I'm a preacher. No, it's just when the word's in you, you just can't hold it. I mean, you know how that is as a preacher, Stan. You just got to get it out of you.
Amen.
You know, whether I got a song that I'm interrupting by preaching or whatever. So a lot of missions probably we're going to be able to get to go on. And the thing I love about going with Karen is it's not a sightseeing tour for Jerusalem, which will be cool.
Yeah.
But actually on the ground in Jerusalem doing kingdom work, and that's what I want to be a part of. So right now that's what we're looking at probably in the next year to 2 years, being able to really travel abroad and just preach the gospel, man. And Jesus said it very simply, as you go, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So no matter where I'm at, if I'm going to the gas station or whether I'm going to India, it makes no difference where I'm going. We're giving them the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. And also, you're a part of the Healing Light Show, and that's awesome. So we like to have you. Yeah. And I could say myself, it's great to have Chuck on your team because he has a lot of gifts that he can really bring to your ministry, and I really think he's kind of like a jewel added to your ministry because he has all these gifts. And not only he has his own ministry, he has a ministry to help other ministries and put them where they want to. And it's awesome to see people like that grow and see them, you know, see the Lord use them in many different ways. It's very awesome. So the Well is actually a organization that God uses in many different ways, is what you're saying, Chuck.
Yeah, just me and my wife as we go, however he wants to use us, that's what we do.
Now, what type of healings and miracles have you saw through your ministry?
Oh, dude, we don't have time for that. I classify a miracle a little bit different than most people, because most people see a miracle as something phenomenal. And I see a miracle as leaving the person behind the cash register with a smile knowing Jesus loves them. So,
yeah.
Now, I've seen some phenomenal eye-popping, oh, my God, that's only God, miracles. And all of them, well, most of them have been on the streets. And we do a lot of church services, and we always pray for the sick, and we've seen miracles inside of church services. Probably, I'm trying to think of one that would stand out more than anything, would probably be the first one I ever saw on the street. And I've given this testimony on the show before, so I apologize for repeating it. But the deal is I was in a moment where none of this was on my radar. I was in Pizza Hut wanting pizza. There was nothing else on my radar. There wasn't my marketplace, the people sitting at the table with me. None of that was there. So we had gathered a few together. I think it was five of us. We go to the local Pizza Hut Friday night, packed house, because I was just in the mood for pizza. And so we're sitting
yeah.
in there, and the poor or the homeless in our hometown, they sell pecans. There's a big park that's got pecans in it, so they'll pick the pecans, they'll hull them, they'll bag them, and they're just trying to make some pocket change. And so one of these guys comes into the Pizza Hut that night, and we just happened to be sitting all the way across the dining hall. So I watched this guy go all the way through the dining hall selling pecans. And he ends up at our table, and we realize as soon as he walked in the door, he's got a very noticeable limp. I mean, like, it's bad. Like, I'm thinking this dude needs to go to the doctor, because that was what was on my mind back then. And a spiritual daughter of mine, he gets to our table. She says, "How much for the pecans?" He said, I just want $2 a bag. And she says, "Listen, I do not want the pecans. Here's $2. I want to bless you. Will you let me pray for your foot?" And, of course, he was shocked, but we're in the South. Everybody knows Jesus. He's like, "Well, sure." So she jumps down, puts her hand on his foot, and I'm sitting at the other end of the table. I don't know what she prays, because I'm a really observant person. My eyes aren't closed. I'm watching what the people are thinking around us. I'm watching the reactions to the people. I'm watching the reaction to the man. I'm watching, you know, what my spiritual daughter's doing. I'm praying, you know, like, "Lord, healing, what's going on? I wasn't expecting this. When's my order going to be out?" And she just stands up. She says, "Yeah, thank you very much. Lord, love you, brother." And he says, "Well, thank you." It kind of does the head nod that we do in the South. And he walks out, no limp at all. And so, in that moment, I catch myself going, "What in the world just happened? This is stuff like out of the Bible. This is the stuff I had dreamed about when I first got saved, thinking, what would it look like if Jesus showed up?" So he walks out. We're kind of celebrating a little bit, making a ruckus over in the corner. He walks back into the Pizza Hut, stands in the middle of the dining hall, and waves his hand at us and says, "Guys, this is Southern vernacular, but this is what he said: my foot don't hurt anymore." And so the entire dining hall erupts with "What?" And so we're excited in the corner because we know what's going on. And so when I saw that, I mean, literally in 2010, when I went to that thing in Jacksonville, I really started diving into my Bible. I started studying theology. I'm kind of a self-taught theologian, which is probably more dangerous than anything. But, you know, that was my world at that moment. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is beyond my mind. And so I literally went into a whirlwind over of about a year and a half. that I had to lay theology down. I had to lay down denominational teachings. I had to lay everything to the side and go, okay, Holy Ghost, what are you trying to teach me? And so in that, I learned about marketplace ministry, how Jesus ministered in the marketplace. And so,
Amen.
Man, and since then, since I would say August, this coming August will be 2 years that I really gave myself to it and just decided I'm going to encounter everybody around me, and if miracles happen, fine. If they don't, fine. And so I've seen so many, man. I've seen so many healings. I've seen people not get healed but hug me and cry because somebody actually cared enough to pray for them. So I've seen it all. I've seen the whole gamut of the spectrum you could think about when it comes to miracles on the street.
Amen. Amen. And it's, you know, a lot of people, when they get into the street ministry, which I'm going to be talking about that later on, we've got an event to help people out there that really don't know much about it. They can go to an event, and we're going to, or the guy's going to be teaching on this. But anyway, a lot of people, when they get street ministry, they want to see, you know, all type of crazy things happen. And sometimes you'll see some crazy things happen, or sometimes you'll just love on somebody and let them know that Jesus loves them. So, you know, it could go either way. And you just got to be open for anything. And that's a lot of truth behind that, Chuck. There's a lot of truth behind that.
Hey, so, one thing I wanted to say was, like, you kind of develop an eye. You know, like when you're out and about and living life in the Lord and just abiding in Him, you kind of just notice things. Like if somebody's looking down or whatever, it's like you realize that the life of God is in you, and greater is He that is in the world than, or in you than He that is in the world. Excuse me, I about quoted that backwards. But anyway, it's like you have the power, so even if it's just a smile, just bringing a smile to a down person, you know, can mean so much and just completely dictate the situation, because the very presence of God that is in you has the ability to change to actually change the world. And you just being in agreement with God and moving with Him, you know, and fellowshipping with Him in those situations is so awesome. Yeah, but
that's incredible.
hearing your testimony and story, Chuck, because it's like I just see Jesus in you, and it's awesome. And I just really
appreciate
that,
man. I'm gonna quote one of my favorite preachers who just said this a couple weeks ago, and it really changed how I look at things too. In that, He said, there's nothing in me that can help a person. I don't have anything to offer. But it's what's in, who's inside of me, that'll give it to that person. And Jesus knows everybody and knows everything. So we just, like you said, man, just a smile, just a, hey, how you doing, man? God bless you. It doesn't have to be Christianese. It doesn't have to be King James, who for art thou standeth before me, God. You don't have to do all that stuff, man. Just be you. Be who you are, and if you'll love that person the way Jesus loves that person, then it'll be a good encounter.
Amen. Amen on
that. Amen.
We're gonna get right into a song, and we'll be right back with Chuck.
And truth was seen, revealed this mystery. The crown that showed no dignity he wore, and the king was placed for all the world to show disgrace. But only beauty flowed from this place. Would you take the place of this man? From his hand, would you take the feel the weight of impurity. The Father would not see. Reasons have finally come to be to show the depth of His grace. Bloom with every sinner, he knew that this was why He came. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from His hands? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from His hands? And we just don't know. And the veil was torn so we could have this open door, and all these things have finally been complete. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from His hands?
Chuck McDonald today about his ministry and about his life with the Lord, and it's been an awesome interview. And I'm going to hand it over to Chris. There you go, Chris.
Okay. So, Chuck, what do you feel like was the biggest turning point, or how did the Holy Spirit get involved in your life?
Dude, He set me up and sucker punched me. That's how He got me. we were on a normal vacation trying to see my son, and ended up in a service where just the worship and the presence was so powerful. And to be honest, if you get into that, that stuff's addicting. So even though in a moment He captured my heart and started drawing me, it took a few years for Him to, chisel some things off of me, especially some online denominational teachings, probably some theologies that I had learned in studying and reading. And He just broke me down to what Paul called the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the Christ. And the simplicity of the Christ is love. And so, it's easy to love Jesus. But Jesus' love for us, it's a perfect picture from the cross of how they were yelling at Him, they were spitting on Him, they were cussing Him, they were just talking trash to Him, if you are the Son of God. And He had enough love and compassion to say, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. And so the Holy Spirit has really taught me in that. This whole Christian walk, this whole life, everything is not designed for me. Like I said before, Jesus was an addendum in my life. Jesus come into my life. So I'm going to live my life, Jesus. You just be a part of me. But the gospel is very clear in that He commands us to deny not the devil, we deny ourselves. We take up a cross and we follow Him. It's called discipleship. So Holy Spirit has really taken me down just a lifestyle of what being laid down to follow Jesus. Because the rich young ruler had the invitation to discipleship. He said, you know, good teacher, what can I do to see eternal life? He said, well, you know, keep the commandments. He said, well, I've done that. What else do I need to do? He said, okay, get rid of everything and follow me. Follow me was an invitation to discipleship. So I have really, over the past 5 years, been discipled by the Holy Spirit. I've had to, things that I didn't realize how much I loved them and I wanted to hold on to them, that I had to let go. So that now it provides room and space for the Holy Spirit to come in. And so being full of the Holy Spirit means being empty of everything else. So this is the preacher coming out in me. You'll have to forgive me just a little bit. But the dangerous thing that we do is we say we need to be balanced. Well, balance means you have a lot of things at equal measure. So, you know, Jacob wrestled with an angel, and he became unbalanced. So I live a very unbalanced life. Most people will call me legalistic in a sense, but I tell them the reason I don't do things that they do is because for the same reason I don't go to my septic tank and put a straw in it and drink it, because that's what you're putting into your spirit. So, I mean, Holy Spirit has really just showed me the purity of conscience, how my conscience is so clean and undefiled. Paul called it a pure conscience. So I hope I've answered that the right way. It's just Holy Spirit has really taught me how to value my relationship with Jesus instead of it being a secondary thing to my life. So, you know, Judas, he, when Mary Magdalene came in and put the oil on Jesus' feet, he said, man, what a waste. This could have been sold and given to the poor. His assessment of the oil was accurate. It was very valuable. What he missed was the value of what the oil was being poured on, and that's Jesus. So Holy Spirit has really taught me the value of communion with him, communion with Holy Spirit, communion with the Father, communion with Jesus, and how to keep that pure and clean and unspotted.
Yeah, that's incredible. Hey, what the Lord... it was just kind of stirring, something the Lord spoke to me this week, because, you know, I was teaching the school and stuff like that and seeking him about, you know, where to start and how to do the thing. And what he spoke to me, he said, if you sum up everything, every message you ever share from a pulpit or, you know, like formally or whatever, he said, if you sum it up and how Jesus simplified the gospel, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your understanding, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep those two things a priority in your life, in your motives, you know, it's like you're laying down your life. And I mean, you know, you do that because he loves you and you love him. It's more of a, it's not so much a sacrifice laying it down as it is, you know, just, wow, I'm so loved that I want to love, you know, and, that's cool because I see that in you, and I see like you sharing your heart well, you know, and that everything is, it's like you can really tell when somebody's real, and you can tell when they're not, you know, when they're acting the act, and, you know, basically just doing it because they feel like, you know, it's the right thing to do or whatever. There's that real genuineness in you. Man, I admire that. You know, it's just a blessing knowing you and knowing that you're real. But
I say that more.
That is so cool. How I think about the scripture that says, you know, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. How have you seen that work in your life?
Man, that's a good scripture. I've never really thought of that. But, that just explains it perfectly, what I was trying to say. Is the steps of the righteous, they're ordered of God. So every step I take, God should have his fingerprint on it, or footprint, pun intended. But anyway, so, you know, if you just love him, one of the things I have found by following people like Heidi Baker and David Hogan, these missionaries that are incredible dead raisings and incredible miracles, and just like the Bible comes to life inside of their ministries, their one common stream is just the fact that Jesus is worthy. And what better thing to do than to give my life to him? Give my life. Here, Jesus, here's my life. It's a mess, but it's what you died for, and it's what you want. Now, his righteousness can come inside of me, and I can live as the righteousness of Christ. So, and I just had a thought. ISIS, they put out this video about ISIS, and one of the things was at the end of the video, the guy said, "Somebody, you got to die for something." And that's their selling point to get people to join ISIS, is you got to die for something. What better thing to die for than the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, who's nothing but love? I mean, you can try to explain Jesus a thousand different ways, but it all comes back to he was love, because his Father is love, and he loved his Father. It's just, so if we... No matter what happens in ministry, I've been a victim, not a victim. I've been called into the guiles of ministry. You got to do ministry. It's got to go this way. It's got to look this way. You got to work harder. None of that even matters. If I work, if I keep my conscience clear, and me and the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit communing on a constant basis, and just making sure the purity is there between me and the Father, then everything else works out, whether I get a phone call to come minister somewhere or not. It makes no difference, because he will, if he opens the door, no man can shut it. So in ministry, we get caught in the, I'll open this door, and get caught up in the works, when if the relationship is there, then the doors just fly open on their own. So that was a good trick for me.
Oh, man, that's good. That is so good. It really is. Think of another good question. Stan, what do you got?
Well, Chuck, you know, we know that, you know, the Lord has blessed you in your life, and he has actually just poured his grace and his love upon you and your wife, and I know that his hands has really been moving through y'all. And that's a blessing automatically, is just him being able to use us to his ability. And with you being in our ministry here for a short time, I think you've just been here a couple months. But I will talk about, you know, how you came to our ministry. It was kind of a unique thing that, you know, the guy from Power and Love, Mike Stanfield? I was talking to him about his event that we've been promoting with Art Thomas coming to Raleigh, and he said, "I met this guy, Chuck McDonald, and he seems like somebody you would like to talk with. He's like in the same type of stuff you are, and I think y'all could be good friends. Here's his number, and maybe, you know, you could have him on the show or something. It'd be awesome." And before I know it, I called you up and asked you if you want to come on the show and stuff and talk and stuff. And before I know it, I had you on the show. Within a couple of weeks or so, I was like, well, I feel that the Lord's wanting to push me and ask you if you want to come on the show. And you told me, like, I've been waiting when he's going to ask me. And I was like, I was just waiting for the right time. I don't do anything without the Lord's hands moving me into it. And, I've jumped the gun on things like that before without the Lord moving me, and I ended up on the wrong end of the barrel sometimes. So I just wait now just for what the Lord's going to push, and he had the door open. And that's the same way everybody's came on the show, anywhere from Robert Hager to Chris to everybody the Lord has asked me to ask them, and they've all fit in perfectly how they are. It's just like they're a part to the puzzle, and it just moves great. But anyway, I ask you that you can be on full-time staff, you know, volunteer, as we all are. We're all volunteers on here. None of us getting paid at all. We're just volunteer our ministry for the work of the Lord, and we're touching people. And that's what a lot of people don't understand about this show. we're all volunteers. We are not getting paid a dime for this show. Even me, I'm not getting paid. I'm actually putting a lot of my finances into the show to multiply for the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's no get backs or kickbacks on anything. It's just our devotion to the Lord is what this show is all about. A lot of people don't understand that, but as here's Chuck's devotion, Chris's devotion, my devotion, all of our devotions to the Lord, and it's actually bringing a lot of people to the Lord and touching them. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Chuck, and you've been a blessing to this show. And all the gifts that you've... Yeah, and Chris, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Chuck, will you share, like, some of your, maybe your favorite scripture with us? That would be kind of cool.
Favorite scripture? First scripture that ever stood out to me, at the time I was basically a musician, was Zephaniah 3:17, and it really put into context what God thinks about me, because, you know, being in worship and music, we always sing to God, right? But Zephaniah 3:17 says, "He rejoices over me with singing." And I when I heard that scripture, I saw it was a pastor friend of mine was preaching on it, and he just sat down in a rocking chair, and he said, "I can remember when my son was born, holding him in my arms and rocking in the rocking chair, and I would sing over him." And it really brought into context how God is our Father. And a lot of times we see him as a slave master. Because you were kind of hitting on this earlier, a lot of times if you lay your life down, people think it's legalism, but it's really love. Jesus said, "If you love me," this is another favorite one of mine, "if you love me, you'll keep my commandments." We've always said, okay, keep the commandments, Jesus will love you. That's not what he said. He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And I always point it to, like, my wife. When I love my wife. So when I go out, like, I really love my wife. That's not a loose term that I use. I love my wife. So when I go out and I'm at work or I'm in the public, we live on the coast, so there's a lot of tourists and stuff, I don't go out going, okay, I can't commit adultery today. You know, there's nothing inside of me going, okay, stay straight. You know, you love your wife. I love her so much that that's not even a problem. It's not legalism. It's love. So I just, a lot of scriptures come to me just from a father's viewpoint, how much he really wants to father us. Like, I can really see myself when I'm in my secret place, like God sitting on his throne and me in his lap playing with the knobs on the throne and, you know, goofing off and just being Chuck, who I am. But he's a father, and he sits there, and he's singing over me, and he's loving on me, and he's proud of me. And we in our culture have a hard time identifying those things because we're a fatherless generation. My dad left when I was young. So it, just the identity, just Ephesians 1 is probably my favorite chapter in the Bible because it's all about how Jesus laid, God sowed his one and only son and killed him so that he could inherit sons and daughters. And so we get the inheritance of the kingdom. Like the king, we think it's some far-off thing. Jesus never taught the kingdom as far off. It's at hand. It's right here. It's right now. And so I can play around in the kingdom because my Father's on the throne.
Amen.
That is incredible.
That is awesome.
I've been reading some of Billy Graham's book on the Holy Spirit, man. And one thing that was amazing to me is he accepts so much by faith, you know, and he just, like the scripture comes to my mind, like when you were talking, and it just was stirring that stuff that Billy Graham was saying. It says, as the heavens are above the earth, so much higher is his thoughts than our thoughts, you know, and there's so much stuff that, you know, we see and we don't understand, and then some of those things, you just got to accept it by faith, you know, and the Bible says that he's pleased with faith, you know, and that's just so cool because it keeps you going forward and moving forward, you know, and knowing that God's got your life in his hands he's directing your steps and your path, you know, and it's cool, man. The more we get to know him, the more we walk, the tighter we walk with him, the more effective you are because you know him, you know, and it's just cool growing with him, you know, and he is well pleased with your faith and well pleased with you. And it's just so encouraging, you know. But I see that
that's
in
awesome.
You, man. I see your faith in the Lord, and I see you, like, just going forward and just being genuine and just being yourself. And, man, it's so good when your identity is right and you're able to be yourself and not try to be like anybody else, just trying to, like press into, I mean, Christ-likeness just comes because you're spending time with him, and it's like an influence thing that the more time you spend with him and the more you fix your affections and stuff on him, it just kind of happens accidentally, you know?
Amen. That's awful.
It's like back and forth, you know? But, man, you're a blessing.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Chuck, I'd like to ask you, would you like to say a prayer for the audience?
Well, you know I would, dude.
Go ahead, man.
We speak life over to our audience right now, God, those who are listening live or who may listen to podcasts. We know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, so no matter when it happens, Holy Spirit, we believe you're in the midst. And I feel like praying for healings, God. I'm Chris and Stan. If y'all have a word for anybody, just jump in. But I hear something over a left shoulder that was torn. I want to say a motorcycle accident, but any kind of accident, you can receive your healing. And I really feel a healing touch over brokenness, coming from broken homes, broken situations, terrible things that have. Terrible traumas like rapes and abortions and just the trauma that life has put on people. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to just heal all those situations. You came to heal the brokenhearted. So we just release you for your purpose to come into each and every home, each and every situation, to remove the victim mentality off of people. Young ladies, let me tell you, it is not your fault what those people did to you. You are not ugly. You're not left out. You are not abandoned. Jesus wants to wrap you in his arms right now. And God the Father wants to be the Father you never had or the Father you never saw demonstrated in the earth. I really feel just a healing over emotional and trauma, just life situations, not physical healings, but emotional healings right now, healings in the mind. People who are depressed to the point they're considering suicide, we bind that in the name of Jesus, and we speak life into each and every home, into each and every bedroom right now, into each and every living room. We speak the life of the kingdom of God to come in. And Holy Spirit, just go get your people. Show them somehow, use somebody, just some insignificant little country preacher in a line one day buying bubble gum. Use him to reach somebody who's hurting and in need and needs the love of Christ demonstrated. So we just bless your name, Father, for all things, for breath, for life, for vision, sight. God, we just love you. We thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for loving us enough to go to the cross, Jesus. So we just speak life into each and everybody in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As you were praying, I saw like this timepiece and a hand holding it, and somebody out there has been lied to about like their ability, and maybe they're too old or you know, so much has happened and they've been lied to about the time, and you know, you were born for such a time as this, and that's a lie of the enemy to say that it's too late or, you know, you've done too much wrong or, you know, you're too old to accomplish this thing. I mean, that's a lie. I mean, and even in your past, if you've missed the mark for so long, that's it's okay. It's behind you. Now is the time, and He's able to redeem the times in your past where you have broken relationships and where things didn't go the way you intended, or maybe you wasn't acting in harmony with what the Lord was saying. That's all a lie. I mean, because God's grace is now, and you plug into God by faith now, and that God, and you talk to God now, and then His ability comes into the situation, because that's how He moves, is He moves in response to faith, in response to abiding in Him and communing with Him and just fellowshipping with Him and casting your cares on Him. And His ability comes into that situation because you're giving it to Him. You're like presenting it to Him. And He begins to maneuver, and He glorifies Himself in doing that, you know. But I just wanted to be an encouragement in that situation, because I've seen that.
Amen.
So God bless you, and God bless that situation.
Amen. I was showed a picture of the guy from the barbershop that had an alcoholic problem, has lost his family. And I want the Lord, I ask you to put your hand upon that person out there that's listening on podcast, that's listening live, or listening in the archives, that this show might be listened to maybe a year from now. Wherever it may be, if you have an alcoholic problem, you've lost your wife, you've lost everything, and you're just on your dying straits right now, Lord Jesus is going to touch you. Lord, I ask you to touch this person right now. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Reveal yourself to them now. Reveal your love to them now. I want to tell you in Jesus' name that the Lord loves you now, no matter what you've done. He takes that on the cross. He died for you. He was raised from the dead for you. He did all this stuff for you and the whole world. If the whole world didn't exist and just you, He was still done it just for you. He loves you. His heart is open to you at all times. The enemy has lied to you for years and years and years and years and manipulated your mind, manipulated your body, manipulated your circumstances till it's just sickening to what He's done to you. In Jesus' name, I bind the enemy off of you. I command him to leave. I take your authority off of this person. I command you to go to the pits and never return close to that person. I command you to never touch that person again. I command salvation over this person. I ask you, just say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Just say this with me, man, whoever this is. Just say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross. I accept that you rose again on the third day for me. I hand all of my sins, all my trespasses to you. I accept you in my heart to live with me for eternity. And if you just said this, man, you just said this, the Lord Jesus has came into your life. He has came into your heart. The Holy Spirit, I ask you just to fill this person up. Just fill this person up with the Holy Spirit. Just fill him up, fill him up, fill him up, fill him up now, Lord. Just fill him up now, Lord. Just fill him up now. Fill him up, fill him up. And whoever else that just wants the touch of the Holy Spirit, just put your hands up. Just put your hands up like you don't care, and let the Holy Spirit just touch you. Holy Spirit, just fill these people up. Put Holy Spirit, just fill them up. Fill them up now. Fill them up with that rivers of living water. Just fill them up with your rivers of living water. Just let that pure water of your Spirit just pour through them. Pour through them now in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name, just fill them up. Fill them up, fill them up, fill them up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're so gracious. Amen. I ask for all these prayers to be completely answered, and so it is. It's already answered. It's already done. It's already taken place. And Chuck, I want to thank you for giving your story and your testimony today. It's a blessing to all of us on the show and to all that's listening, and I'm sure that story is going to touch somebody out there that's needing to hear that testimony, that's needing to hear that story, that's needing that extra kick to their ministry, and I'm sure it's going to really touch somebody, Chuck. And it's a blessing to have you on here, man.
Well, I appreciate it, dude. You guys are a blessing to me, and I'm humbled and honored that you asked, dude. Just thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I would like to tell everybody again about the event in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's going to happen March the 14th. And Art Thomas, the evangelist Art Thomas, is going to be teaching it. It's from the New Pathway Church. They're actually promoting this event. It's going to be in the Homewood Suites, Carib Tree Valley Suites in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I really ask everybody just go to the newpathwaychurch.com. Just check that out. You know, sign up for this event. There's no fee at all. It's completely free. There's no charge for it. And just go there and just sign up for it and let them know who's coming. The only thing this is a head count to let know who's coming. There's no charge for it at all. We're just trying to get the street ministry going for people, just where you can go to the Walmart and pray for somebody and have the courage to do this. It actually helps you out with that. And a lot of people just need that extra kick. And Art Thomas is going to give you that little extra kick and show you how things like all that stuff works, where you'll really feel free to do that at any time you want to, and it really helps with that. It helped me and my family. It's helped many person that's been in the ministry, and I really prefer that. And there's a lot of events that teach this, that there's a lot of money to go to it. This is a very rare event that there's no charge. Very rare event that there's no charge, and this guy is so humble. Art Thomas is so humble with his ministry to open it up for no charge, and this is very rare. So I really ask y'all to take advantage of this and just see what happens. It's going to be on that Saturday. It's going to be from 3 to 9 p.m. It's going to be an all-day event. It's going to be a jam-packed with ministry, with scripture, with everything that Art has learned through his ministry. He's going to, you know, pack that up in that event. He's going to let you go on the street and pray. If you're not the best at street ministry, it's a help, you know, boost you up, help you to that degree that you need to be. And there's a lot of street ministry trainings out here, but this here is one that has really helped me, that really helped me with a lot of stuff, and just his touch on things and how simple it is. He doesn't make it hard. A lot of people are like, well, you got to stay in Jesus. You know, the harder you pray, the better it's going to work. He makes it very simple, as Jesus did when he walked this earth. And that's how I really feel the Lord wants you to do when you pray for people. He wants it simple. He don't want you to say, hey, you know, how many more prayers you can say, the more effective it's going to be. It's going to be effective no matter what, in Jesus' name. So that's what it's all about. And, you know, just check us out. Go to newpathwaychurch.com and check this event out, or go to thehealinglightshow.com, and there's an event. You can click on that, or go on my page, Stan Shell, and it'll be on there. Just click on it to sign up, and, you know, we'll see you there. And it's going to be an awesome event. I'd like to tell everybody, God bless every one of y'all, and we will see you Wednesday night. God bless you, and see you then.